Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, forgive me the portion of goods that fall to me, and he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much. I thank you, Father, for this passage here. I pray, Father, as we take a look at it tonight, it would speak to our own hearts. And there's many here, no doubt, who have prodigals in their own family. They may not be in the so far away. They may be just living right here amongst us and in the city in which we live. And perhaps there may be even some right here in our congregation that long for the far country. I pray, Father, that this would not be the case. I ask that you give us ears to hear. Help us to change our lives. I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the story of the prodigal son is part of a parable that includes the lost sheep and the lost coin. It is, without a doubt, one of the most beloved passages in the entire Word of God. Now, I believe there is something in these verses for every one of us. For the word prodigal means wasteful. How many of us are prodigals? For some, you waste money. Others, you waste time and you waste opportunities. Many in good, solid Christians' homes have wasted their upbringing, and still others are wasteful and failing to live for Jesus as they should. Now, in this message, I want to focus on the story's three primary characters: the prodigal that left, the loving father that waited, and the prodigal that stayed. Notice the prodigal that left. Notice what it says in verse 11 through 13. And he said, a certain man had two sons. Now they were what? Both sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, in these verses, we are given the distinct impression that this young man was raised in a good home, and he was raised by a loving father. He was the youngest son of the family, and he had a potential for greatness. You know, when you read sometimes in the Bible of the youngest son in the family, you'll see Moses was the youngest, and he was chosen by God to deliver the Jews from Egyptian bondage. David also happened to be the youngest in the family of Jesse, and he was anointed with oil, and he was destined to be king. Being the youngest doesn't mean you are the least or you are insignificant. For no matter where you are in the birth order, I want to remind you, you are important to God and you can be used mightily by Him. So don't waste the potential that you have for the Lord. This son was blessed to be in this family. His father raised him to love God. His father was a godly example to his boys. He provided more than enough to meet the needs of the family. He taught them to work hard and no doubt applied the board of education when his sons needed some discipline. He was brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, yet he forsook his upbringing and wasted all that his father had invested in him. He had rebellion in his heart, and he longed to break away and go into the far country. Oh, he went along outwardly, and he did so for some time. But his heart was cold, and it was indifferent to the things of God, and it was indifferent to the life his father wanted him to live. His heart seemed to be elsewhere, and his mind was focused on sinful pleasures. If he were alive today, you would notice him as having no joy. He would not read his Bible. His prayer life would be non-existent. And if he would go to church, it would be quite evident that he didn't want to be there. He merely would go through the motions, and he would wait for the day that he could put all of this behind him and free and be free to do as he pleased in the far country. No doubt he had heard from others the good times of getting drunk, perhaps smoking a little weed, how the girls in the far country were promiscuous, and the wild parties where all and any moral restraints were abandoned. He was told by others about the fun that he was missing out on, and he became no longer content just to hear about it. So he makes plans to abandon the farm for fun. His family for the far country, and that which was familiar for a fallacy. He had no time to spare. He wasn't going to wait until he was too old to enjoy the sinful pleasures away from home. Much like Esau, he was hungry for the temporal and no desire for the eternal. He wanted to live for the flesh and not according to the faith. So with no regard for his godly father, he demands the portion of his inheritance. This was like a slap in the face to the man who had raised him. For the inheritance was typically given, wasn't given until the death of the father. Yet this self-centered, sin-driven boy looked at his father as one to profit from and couldn't wait for his own dad to die to get what was coming to him. He isn't unlike other young men or women with self-entitlement. You see, what they want right now. And they don't care what it costs their parents. They don't care how much it hurts them. All they want is freedom. And they want what their parents, they think, owe them. So this fool of a son receives his substance. Now I want you to understand, it just wasn't money. He would have gotten some livestock. You know, he would have got some family heirlooms that were passed down from one generation to another. There would also be grain that had been reaped and had been threshed. He gladly took it and went as far away as he could from everything that would remind him of the good, godly home he was brought up in and the God of his youth. No doubt his father pleaded with him to stay, warned him about the far country and the terrible consequences of sin. Yet he loaded up all of his belongings, and as he left, perhaps he took one last look backward and saw his father's face wet with tears and heard him sobbing. This is a story with an all too familiar ring. For many a child brought up with good godly heritage has done the same thing. Parents, though not perfect, brought up their little ones in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, only to see them leave their homes and break their hearts as they go into the world and sow their wild oats. One such father who had a son like the prodigal was broken over what his son had been up to. He had a friend, and his friend told him, "If that were my son, I'd say good riddance, bad rubbish." And the broken-hearted father said, "If he were your son, I'd say the same thing. But he's my son, and my heart is broken over what he has done." You know, there's heartbreak. There's tears. There's continual sorrow of parents whose children have left home for a life of sin. This boy, when arriving in the far country, found his loose women, found his strong drink and his cheap thrills. He started hanging with the wrong crowd, and by the way, the wrong crowd was his crowd. He was part of it. That's who he was attracted to. They influenced him to indulge himself even further into debauchery. My, what good times he had. Yes, he was enjoying fun that he never knew before and a newfound freedom until the day when the pleasure of sin for a season was over. One day he woke up in the gutter outside of a bar on the wrong side of town. He was red-eyed, had a pounding headache, no friend in sight, and in need of help. Oh, he went out full! But now he had an empty wallet and an empty stomach. His fair-weather friends had left him, and those whom he had partied with would not spare him a bed to lay on or a morsel of food to take the edge off the hunger he was experiencing. He found out that when his resources disappeared, the earthly pleasures dried up as well. Notice what it says in verse 14 through 16 as we see him come to the lowest point in his life as he now is employed by a pig farmer to feed his hogs. It says, "And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want." Now I want you to know something, parents. Some of you are willing to continue to send your money when they're in the far country. And you continue to give them money after money after money. And all they're doing is staying in the far country a whole lot longer than God ever intended them to be. And you're financing it. This father wouldn't do it. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And when he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. There he watches these animals, these pigs, these unclean animals. He sees them rooting in the garbage. And he's so hungry, he begins to devour the slop and the pail that the pigs are to eat. His clothes now are threadbare, nothing more than rags. He smells of swine. His face and hands are absolutely grimy with filth. He has found out the truth that sin will take you farther than you are willing to go and cost you more than you are willing to pay. Then he had his first sane thought since he left home. And it's recorded for us in verses 17 through 19. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants." It says, he came to himself. This prodigal who was loved at home, who went into the far country to do whatever he wanted to do, and didn't care what anybody else said about him, this prodigal who hurt his father deeply, who came from a good godly home, now realizes how good he had it. He realizes that even his father's servants are far better off than he is. So he starts making his trek home. He admits he is wrong. He hopes his father would just treat him as good as one of his hired servants. So after he hands in his pig pail, he heads on down the highway for home. He had a long way to go. It wouldn't be an easy trek. He would be footsore. He'd be weary. He'd be hungry and rank with the odor of swine when he arrived. But what keeps him going is the hope that his father would be gracious and forgiving. You may be here, and you're just waiting for your turn in the far country. You may just be waiting to waste your life on lesser things. May I say, don't go. May I say, it's time to get right with the Lord. Avoid the consequences of any actions you're thinking that'll lead you astray. Realize how good you got it in the Father's house. With people who love you, who care about you, don't break the Heavenly Father's heart and don't waste the life that you are given or the potential of what you could do for Jesus Christ. If you're in the far country, it's time to return. It's time to come to your senses. Confess your sin, because the Father is gracious. He is forgiving. And what loving parent doesn't wait for their prodigal child to come to their right senses and return? So we see the prodigal that left. Notice the loving father that waited. And when you read this story, it really is about the loving father. You know, the emphasis of most preachers is on the prodigal that left. But really, the emphasis should be on the loving father that waited. Notice what it says in verse 20 through 24. And he arose and came to his father. I like that. You know, there ought to be reconciliation in a relationship that we have strained. If we're guilty of that, let's get right with our parents. If we're guilty of that, let's get right with those we have offended. Says, and he rose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. I can, in my mind's eye, see this father. He was one who had worked hard to raise up his son properly. He set a fine example of what a man, a godly man, and a father ought to be. He would get up early, work late, providing for his family. He did all he knew what to do, yet his youngest son chose to leave and grieve him greatly. He often wondered if he would ever see his boy again. I see this father every morning on the porch, looking down the road, watching for his son. I hear the servant who is cooking breakfast telling him, "Food is ready." And as he sits down, he prays for his food. And then he lifts up his head, looks over, sees an empty chair. And with a quivering voice, he says, "Lord, I ask you to protect my boy. I ask you to bring him home." He offers up a prayer of faith. And so when he takes a rest from his labor, he takes the best robe. He makes sure it is pressed and that it is clean. Perhaps he takes that ring out and he polishes it, the one he plans to give to his son. And he keeps a shine on those shoes that fit his son's feet perfectly. As the day wears on, before the night settles in, you see him taking a bucket of grain. And two servants are watching him. And they think to themselves, "He's sure keeping that calf fed right. And that calf is getting bigger. And that calf is putting on some weight. That calf's meat surely is tender." After dinner, the sun is setting. He tells one of his servants to bring some oil for the lamp, so if his boy returns, he can find his way home in the dark. Before he retires for the evening, he kneels by his bedside and begs God once again for his son to return. One day after his morning devotion, he's outside enjoying a cup of coffee. Breakfast is on the stove. He's having steak, eggs, hash browns, and a cream-filled Long John. And before he hears the call for breakfast, that it's on the table, he looks off in the distance and sees someone making their way to the house. They are rather thin. They stagger a bit as they walk. But he recognizes that it's his boy. Breakfast now can wait. He runs full speed across the field, tackles his son, and he smothers him with kisses. The prodigal that left admits the wrong that he is guilty of, how unworthy he is. But the father cries out to the servant, "Bring the best robe. Put it on him. Put that ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. My boy is back. And you know what? Kill that fatted calf. It's time to rejoice." And this boy now experiences full and free restoration to the family. All the boy had to do was come home. And he was reinstated. The father here is a picture of our Heavenly Father. He is more willing to receive us than we are to come to him when we have strayed. This is the only time God is pictured as running. And he's running because he wants to forgive us. He's running because he wants to show his great love for those returning from the far country. The ring was a sign of sonship. The best robe was proof of his acceptance back into the family. And the shoes demonstrated he was more than a servant, for servants didn't wear shoes. And the feast was the father's way of showing his joy and sharing it with others. Would to God we had parents like our Heavenly Father. Parents who would be burdened. Parents who would pray for their children. Parents who would agonize, fast, and pray for their own. Those that are in the far country. Whose love for their children will not be quenched, but it would be steadfast, and they would never give up on them. We have become so used, I believe, to the way things are, that we no longer plead for our prodigal children. We accept the status quo and no longer concern ourselves with their spiritual condition. Oh, if they got food on the table, roof on their, over their head, clothes on their back, they're okay. No, they're not. Some whose hearts have been broken by their children are baffled by their bad behavior, and yet they wash their hands of those who brought shame to them. If they wanted to come back, they would be met by, "What are you doing here? Or look what the cat dragged in." Or how about them being put on some sort of probation? Why can't we open up our arms? Open up our hearts to our own children who have strayed. When they come back contrite and admitting their wrongdoing. So we see the prodigal that left. The loving father that waited. And now let's look at the prodigal that stayed. This is the story of two prodigals. One left and one stayed. Notice what it says in verse 25 through 32. Now his elder son was in the field. And as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, "Thy brother has come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he received him safe and sound." Notice this. And he was angry. Why wasn't he thrilled? Why wasn't he happy that the family was back again? And he said, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." And he said unto me, "Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." Now when you read about this elder brother, he had some commendable virtues. He seemed to work hard. He seemed to obey his father. He did not disgrace the family name and seemed to be a solid citizen compared to his younger brother. He seems to be a saint. Yet as important as hard work and obedience are, they are not the only tests of one's character. Jesus did say the two greatest commandments are to love God and to love others as thyself. Both of these were broken by the prodigal that stayed at home. This elder brother would not forgive his younger brother who wasted his father's inheritance, who lived with harlots, but neither would he forgive his father, who is a picture of God, that graciously forgave the prodigal that left. This prodigal that stayed openly announced the sins of his brother, but he could not see his own sins that he was guilty of. He was self-righteous. He was prideful. He was one that had shortcomings. He also displayed a lack of concern for his younger brother and did not want him back home and back into the family. He definitely was guilty of sinful anger that was directed at both his father and his brother. The prodigal who stayed was angry at his own father because he had given the younger son the feast he had always wanted. He wasn't even given a goat. But for his returning brother, the fatted calf was killed. He was angry at his younger brother for getting all the attention and didn't think his younger brother deserved it. Was he faithful? Yeah. Had he obeyed his father? Yeah. Then why should he be treated, his younger brother, with such kindness and love? He didn't do what he had done. Well, the same father that ran to meet the prodigal who left comes out of the house and he pleads with the prodigal that stayed. The older boy refused to go in, preferring to stay outside and pout. He missed out on the joy of forgiving his brother and pleasing his father. He chose to remain outside of fellowship with both of them. All because he could not forgive his brother and because he was no longer in communion with the father. So many I have met are just like this elder brother. They seem to want to nurse their anger for those who have done wrong instead of forgiving others and enjoying the fellowship of God and his people. When one refuses to forgive, they can easily talk about the sins of others, but they are blind to their own. They can see a mote in somebody else's eye, but they have a beam in their own. Well, the prodigal that left was guilty of the sins of the flesh. The prodigal that stayed was guilty of the sins of the spirit. You may be one that is put off by returning prodigals. But you who have stayed have need of reconciliation as well. Until you deal with those sins of the Spirit, you'll never get in on the feast that you are invited to attend. All prodigals are welcome. Doesn't matter if they're near, doesn't matter if they're far. One of the reasons I love this story is because it points out my own sinfulness and my own awful attitudes at times. I pray it has done the same for you tonight. You will reconcile yourself with the Father. And all I have to say is, don't keep him waiting. Everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.